Good morning.
O Lord, I give my life to you. I trust you, my God. Do not let me be disgraced, or let my enemies rejoice in my defeat. No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced, but disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saved me. All day long I put my hope in you. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and unfailing love, which you have shown from long age past. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love, for you are merciful, O Lord. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his ways. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all who keep his covenant and obey his demands. May God have a blessing over the world.
Jesus has many, many titles, as we know. I recently went on a website that showed me slides of the names of Jesus. They had all the names of Jesus on this one slide. And there's several of them that I have, and they're, you know, in different colors and in different positions. And it's just amazing because all those names, a whole page, as many as they could fit in there, just jam-packed with the names of Jesus. Why is it that Jesus has to have so many names? You ever ask yourself that question? It is because he is so unbelievably wonderful that one name cannot cover him. So he has to have all those different names. They're actually titles. And they proclaim who he is and how great he is. It's amazing. Now, one of those names that maybe you haven't heard is a part of my sermon title today. You know, because you heard Savior, you've heard the Almighty God, you've heard the Prince of Peace, you've ever heard the Everlasting Father. But you may not have heard ruler over our sins. Jesus, ruler over our sins. May I submit to you that that's one of the titles that is just as big and powerful as any of the other titles that Jesus has. Let's hear what the psalmist David had to say about that power, that position that Jesus holds. He says in Psalm 103, verse 1, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my innermost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." You know, God has many benefits that he gives to us. "Who forgives all of our sins." Forgives all of our sins. "Heals all of our diseases." "Who redeems our life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion." In other words, we were going into the pit. We could all be doomed to eternal death, but instead he takes us from the pit and he redeems our life. Verse 5 says, "Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." And we need that, don't we? And sometimes we just feel just drugged down. We feel lifeless and empty. And what the Bible is saying, what the psalmist reminds us, is that God is able, and he will, if we ask him, satisfy our mouths and our lives with good things and renew our strength. "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." So he is a lifter up of those who are oppressed. Verse 7, he says, "He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger." Very important. Slow to anger. You know, if God was to get angry quickly, you know, if God was like some people that I know, including me sometimes, you know, we'd all be destroyed. Amen. If his anger just came up quickly and he didn't really restrain his anger, we could all be in a very bad place. Verse 9 says, "He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever." And that's what David always counted on, that God's anger would go away. He says, "Let me fall into the hands of the Lord, not into the hands of men." He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Thank God. Amen. I'm telling you. And then in verse 12, he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So we need to fear him, right? Fear involves an element of respect. It's an honor that we give to God. And he has compassion on us. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are just dust. So, look, God knows you. He knows that you're not perfect. He knows that I'm not perfect. And he makes allowances for that. If we could be perfect, we wouldn't need Jesus. Amen? Paul talks about Jesus and how he became this person that we rely upon in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the second chapter, starting in verse 5. Ephesians 2:5, it says, in your relations with one another, Paul is talking to the church, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. That's a good mindset to have. He said, who being in very nature God, he was God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Okay? Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death on a cross. Therefore, because he did this, God exalted him above the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So there's no one that doesn't bow to him. So therefore, there's no one that's superior to him. And that means that he's the ruler over all things. And what I want to remind you of today is that he is also ruler over our sin. Why is that important? Because if we don't realize that Jesus is the ruler of our sins, if we don't realize that he has the power to forgive us of our sins, if we don't realize he's able just to take our sins and wash them all away, we are miserable people. You know, we're kind of like those puppies that sit in the corner when they've gotten the sock again that they weren't supposed to get. We're like people that have been chastised, and we've said, I'm sorry, and yet somehow it doesn't want to go away. See, what I want to remind you of, what God seeks to remind you of, is that he is ruler over your sins. And every tongue acknowledges that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So what am I saying? He's the King of Kings. In the book of Revelation, 19th chapter, verse 16 says, and he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So if Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there is nobody, nothing that is higher than Jesus. Okay? And the Bible shows us that he is equal with the Father, even though he submits himself to the Father. That he is equal with the Father. The Father considers him a co-equal. They are co-equals. And so that means that when we look at some of the parables of the Bible, like let's take a look at Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus? He was that little annoying tax collector who wasn't well liked. And and I'm not picking on those of us who are short, but he was short. And when he came to the crowd to see Jesus, he couldn't even see over the crowd. He's standing on his tiptoes, and he still couldn't see over the crowd to see Jesus. So what did he do? He climbed up in a sycamore tree or a fig tree so that he could see Jesus. And when Jesus came by, what did Jesus say to him? He said to him, Zacchaeus, come down. I must eat at your house today. And Zacchaeus said what to Jesus? He said, today, Lord, is a good day. He said, because these guys were thieves. Tax collectors were thieves. That's why the Jews hated them so much. They were extortionists. They took money out of people's pockets when they weren't supposed to be taking it out. They exaggerated the taxes, so they have a little bit to give to, they have a portion to give to the government, and they had a little portion to keep back for themselves, and that's how they got rich. And most of them were very wealthy. And Zacchaeus was one of the wealthier ones. And he said, "Today, Lord, if I have taken more than I should have," which he will, yeah, right, if, yeah, he has. He said, "Today I restore it several times over. And I won't do it anymore." And God, Jesus says to him, what? "Salvation has found you today." Because he's a son of David, a son of Abraham also, like the rest of us. And he is forgiven of his sins, and he goes and he eats at his house. Remember that? Unbelievable. Why was he able to do that? Because not only is he, remember the example when he goes to the cornfields and he says, they argue with him over the fact that his disciples are eating corn on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, "I'm the Lord of the Sabbath." He's also the Lord over our sins. Just like he's the Lord over the Sabbath, just like he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he is the Lord over our sins. He is the ruler over our sins. Our sins are not greater than he is. And for that purpose, as we saw in Ephesians, he came to earth so that he might forgive us of our sins. And he is able to forgive us our sins. Why? Because he's bigger than our sins. Remember the woman caught in adultery? It was a part of the Mosaic law, Moses' law, that God himself gave to Moses, that if a person was caught in adultery, that they were to be stoned. So the Pharisees and the priests and the scribes were keeping the law of Moses. And they wanted to see what Jesus would do. So they brought this woman to Jesus, and they threw her down on the pavement at his feet. And they said, "She's caught in the very act." We're not guessing. She was caught in the act. "What does the law say, and what are you going to do?" And Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. Didn't say a word. Stooped down and wrote on the ground. And then they peeled off. Well, they said, "What? What are you going to do?" He says, "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And he wrote on the ground. And they peeled off one by one until there was nobody left. And Jesus said to the woman, "Woman, where are your accusers? Has no one accused you?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And he says, "Neither do I accuse you. Neither do I accuse you." But he said to her, "Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more." And that's what Jesus says to us. He doesn't have a problem with our sins, however bad they were, however many they were. But he says to us, when we come to him, as this woman came and was brought to him, he says to us, "Go and sin no more." Now, the book of John is interesting in this regard. The book of 1 John, the third chapter, says, "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he, God, is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning." And that's what we were caught up in. The reason the Son of God appeared, the reason that Jesus came, was to destroy the devil's work of sin in us. Okay? That's what he came for. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed, the Holy Spirit, remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. You hear that? So, the question is then, how is it that we don't go on sinning, right? Because that's the problem with us. And God had an answer. You know what it was? Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And when the Holy Spirit came, what came then along with that was God himself, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit entered into those and does enter into those who believe. And so if we are true believers, we have the Holy Spirit in us. So then we have God himself within us. Two things happen when we have God within us. Number one, the thing that happens is all of our sins that are a part of who we used to be before we repented of our sins. And by the way, God does call upon us to repent of our sins when we come to him. Okay? Very important. That's a part of the baptism covenant. We repent of our sins. But what God does then is, does it mean that we don't sin at all after that? No, we're human beings, so we continue to sin, unfortunately. But what he does also is, because the Holy Spirit is in us, God gives us a taste of the rulership over sin and the victory over sin that God himself, Jesus, experienced. So although we may have struggles, there are victories as well. So in those victories over sin, things that we normally would have big trouble with, we all of a sudden, because of the power of God in us, don't have big trouble with them. God gives us a taste of the victory that Jesus had, of his rulership over sin. It's not complete, and it won't be complete until the time that we see him face to face. But he gives us a taste of that rulership. And if you have been close to God, you know what I'm talking about. That sometimes you may have your struggles, it may be difficult, but there are times when things come against you that are difficult, that normally you would struggle with, and they're like a breeze. Who's experienced that? Say amen.
Amen.
That's when God is working inside of you. And God has the victory within you over sin. The other thing that God does is, because he has overcome sin completely, he allows us to have forgiveness of our sins, and God cleans us as if we never were sinners at all. Just washes it away, moves it away just as far as the east is from the west. So you got two things working inside of you, and the most important thing is you got God. But you got God inside of you who gives you the power over regular sins, even your monumental sins, your big sins. He will give you the victory. When does he give you that victory? Those of you that said amen, did you notice that it was when you were close to him? If you're not close to him, that's when you struggle. So what we realize then is that the struggle over sin and the victory over sins involves a relationship that we have with God. That when we are close in that relationship and we're worshiping God, we're praising God, we're reading his word, thinking on his word, it's like we float. Things work. Things come together. When we don't have that, then things are just more difficult, because that's when our old self is really in control. Our old self can't overcome sin. It's only the new self who is there because God is in us. And then Jesus also has fixed it so that because of his righteousness, the Father forgives us of all sin. So then, in effect, you are wiped clean. And what God does then is, because you're in that spirit and that attitude of repentance, of submission to him, even your sins that you don't even know about are washed clean. They're wiped out. It's a clean slate. God is not holding them against you. If you died today in that state, I trust that you would see God face to face, because your sins are no longer there. They've been washed away. So we begin to see what is important. A personal relationship with God is very important. In other words, it's not just about going to church, although I wish that every one of you was here every Sunday. I wish you were at every Bible study. And that would be good if you can do that. But the real thing is the relationship with God. And church helps feed that, and Bible study, personal and corporate, and in the church, helps to feed that and nourish that. And then to listen to the gospel preached. You can hear the words. Somebody can tell you this is what is right and this is what is wrong. This is what you should do. But if you don't really take it to heart and do something about it, if you don't really hear it, here's the thing. When you read the Bible, you must read the Bible as if God is talking to you, because he is. You shouldn't read over things, just read them as if they're just words. God is talking to you. You're supposed to stop and think about what it's saying and what it means for your life. Personalize it. Because you got a personal relationship with God, right? So you have a personal relationship with God, and he talks to you directly, and you don't listen to him and heed it. You don't apply it. That's not possible. It's not right. You're supposed to hear it. So when you hear preaching, like I'm preaching today, we'll be preaching, God willing, next Sunday, and other preachers will preach on other days, and you may hear other preachers preach as well, as long as they speak truly from the word of God. You got to listen to the gospel preached. It means something. Then on your own, to read and study the Bible daily. Because you're talking about a relationship. You feed a relationship, right? If I'm your friend, you call me. you talk to me. You know, we have some kind of, we write, we do something. We stay in touch, right? You talk with us. So, you know, you got to talk to God. You talk to God through prayer, right? So prayer, reading, Bible study. And as I mentioned, you need to personalize it, apply it to yourself. And there's the prayer part. You got to talk to God because God communicates with us and we need to communicate with him as well. The book of John, Jesus is very, very encouraging there about this whole thing. He's about to go away. He's talking to his disciples, and he says to them, and you know, he's gone away from us. We don't see Jesus, although he's here in us. We don't see him face to face yet. He says, a time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered. This is before he was taken to be crucified, coming up as we celebrate in the Easter season and his resurrection. Each of you to his own home. You will leave me all alone. And yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. And that's what we need to remember. The Father is with us as well. God is with us from day to day in our struggles. We need to feel that, though, and know that and believe that. And Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Yeah. Amen. So he says, I'm the ruler over it all. The Father says, I have appointed him ruler over it, that every knee should bow to him. And so everything bows to Jesus, including our sins. So what we have to do then is, as those who believe in God, is when we acknowledge, when we see our sin, we acknowledge our sin. When we have acknowledged our sin and we have laid it at Jesus' feet, what should we do then? Leave it there. Leave it there. Trusting that Jesus is ruler over our sin. Amen. And then once you have repented of it, as he told the woman, go and sin no more. With God's help, you can do that. Without God's help, you cannot. Even with God's help, it won't be perfect. But the point is, we strive to do what is right. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's pray then. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for all that you teach us day by day. We thank you that as we read our Bibles, even in our own homes, whether it be in a study or out in the field or wherever, in a quiet room someplace, that we read your word and you talk to us because we read it with the intent of hearing you speak to us. We pray that you will speak to us through your word. I pray that you'll open the ears of each and every one of us as members of your church here, that when we read the Bible, when we hear preaching, Lord God, we invite you to speak to us personally, because when we don't take the word personally is when we get calloused and we go our way, and then we find ourselves out of accord, out of sync with you. We want to be in sync with you. And so we pray that you will help us to hear and receive your word and give us the power through your spirit to obey. We know that we won't do so perfectly. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice, which allows us to be washed clean. Whatever sins we have committed, if we have laid them before you, even if we're not knowledgeable of them, for some sins are hidden and we ourselves have forgotten them. But when we are in that spirit of repentance before you and we've laid ourselves before you as a sacrifice, we know that you wash us clean. Wash us clean. You take it all away. And I pray that you'll perform that miracle in the lives of all of these, Lord God, and all who will hear your word on this, that the sins of the past will be forgotten. That the weight of them will be taken off, that we will accept and believe your sacrifice, and that we will believe, Lord Jesus, that you are ruler. Holy Spirit, that you'll dwell in us, that you'll encourage us and strengthen us from day to day, that you rebuke the devourer and the accuser so that we don't hear his accusations anymore. And we are joyful in your presence. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.